fulfilled his internship by being the preacher at Mineral Point every Sunday, as well as Wednesdays, and helping run the kids club program. And I felt it'd be appropriate that he would be preaching tonight on Mineral Point night. And so we're not sure what the Lord has in store for him, but we know that he wants to be a part of new church work. And so the Lord worked it out miraculously that happened, right? And so he's preaching tonight, and I trust be a blessing. Thank you, Luke.
I hope my mic wasn't on while I was singing. You can turn with me to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 5. I was really challenged to hear the testimonies of the Arthurs. I had heard a lot of that, but it was neat to hear from all of them about what the Lord has done in their life and what he has in store there for the future. It was a blessing to work there this summer and to step out and trust God, because that's what you have to do in a situation like that. You're kind of out on a limb, as some people might say, and you have to trust the Lord. And it's not always easy, because we're not naturally people of faith. And that's what it takes a lot of, to trust the Lord to do a work in a place where it seems like people are hard. And I mean, there are people that are hard there, but not hard enough for that God can't save. So just continue to pray. Hopefully that gave you a little perspective of what the Lord is doing there and the heart of the people that we're ministering with, and trusting the Lord to see God do great things. Mark chapter 5, we'll look at verse 18 through 20, and then we'll get into the message. Verse 18 of Mark chapter 5 says, "And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel." I once heard a preacher say, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Many people wonder if anybody cares for them. They don't know. They've never been told the good news of Jesus Christ. The sad thing is, few people find the help they are looking for. And part of the problem is that they look in the wrong places. They look to the wrong people for help. But another part of the problem is that Christians are not compassionate towards them to tell them the news of Jesus Christ. I remember when Dr. Flanders preached here one time, he told a little bit of his wife's story when she was a young girl, and how she came to know the Lord was through the ministry of a Sunday school teacher who every week would stop and pick Mrs. Flanders up. And she was, I don't remember if she came from a broken home or what the situation was, but either way, in her home, the Lord wasn't really talked about. And the reason that she is today a preacher's wife is because some Sunday school teacher had compassion on her and saw her not as a rambunctious little bus kid, as they're prone to be, but rather as a soul, even though she was a young girl. And I remember him telling how that Sunday school teacher reached out to his wife and showed compassion to her even as a young girl. And she may not have gotten a whole lot out of the church services, I don't know, but she knew that there was someone at that church that loved her and cared for her, because they were willing to sacrifice their time for her. And that changed her life, and that introduced her. That was really the avenue through which the Lord brought her to Christ, was through someone caring for her. And this shows that a little bit of compassion can go a long way. We never know what a smile and a hello might do to somebody, but it might cheer them up. We don't know. It might be the avenue through which God uses our testimony to draw someone else to Jesus Christ, and so that they can hear the good news. In this passage, we read of what most people call about the maniac of Gadara, a crazy man. And in verses 18, 19, and 20, we read after he was converted how he wanted to be with Jesus. And that would be a good thing to do, wouldn't it? To be with Jesus, but Jesus thought there was something better for this man to do. He said, go home. Go to your friends, all the people that remember you as a crazy, demon-possessed man, and I want you to tell them what Jesus has done for you. Amen. And has had compassion on you. And that was the message that Jesus wanted this man to preach, who was just, I don't know, maybe a day, within that day, had just been converted. And his life had drastically changed, and Jesus gave him a message that was personal. It was his own personal message how Jesus had had compassion on him. And Jesus' life, of course, demonstrated the importance of compassion for each of us as Christians. And I want to look at three different reasons why every Christian should be motivated to show compassion. And the first reason is that people have needs. You know, every person here has needs. Every person in this world has needs. This man in Mark chapter 5 had very obvious needs. Okay, if we met him, if we saw him, it wouldn't take much brain power to realize that this man had a lot of needs. Okay, but there's some different categories of needs that we're going to look at. First of all, there's external needs. And sometimes the needs of people are the very things that keep us from ministering to them. We think their needs are too great. We think because, well, they don't have a lot of money, or they don't have a lot of ability, or maybe they have bad hygiene, you know, something, you know, that we could come up with all sorts of excuses. And sometimes the very needs of people are the thing that keep us from ministering to them. But not with Jesus. If Jesus had had that attitude, this man would never have been converted. He never would have been able to experience for himself the compassion that Jesus Christ is willing to show to anybody who is willing to trust in him. And the people that have a lot of needs, sometimes we look at them and think that we can spend our time in a better way, but aren't those the very people that need to be shown compassion? That's what Jesus' life on earth, his ministry here on earth was all about, was ministering to the people that needed to be shown compassion. And the people who thought they had it all figured out, the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious people, Jesus didn't, I mean, there was times that he spent with them and arguing with them, disputing with them, but a lot of his ministry was to people who were lame, who were sick, who needed to be helped, people that had external needs. Look at the external needs of this man who is possessed with a demon. In verse 2 of Mark 5, it says, "And when he was come out of the ship," that's Jesus, "immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones." But that wasn't the deepest needs of him. All of those were external. Yes, he lived with dead people. That's pretty abnormal, but when your life is controlled by Satan, there's a lot of abnormal things that happen. Secondly, this man was wild and untamable. And maybe some of you parents think that describes some of your children. Wild and untamable at times. That can be a challenge. This man was also, thirdly, he abused his body, crying and cutting himself with stones. He abused his body. Another need that this man had was that he had no clothes, and I guess that is a pretty big need. If you saw someone like that, you would realize that there's an obvious need there. And that was a very external need, but this man's external needs were not his deepest needs. They were external. Man's greatest needs are spiritual, and that's the second needs that the second category of needs that people have is internal. They're not external, they're internal. And a lot of times what you see on the external is a reflection of what's on the internal. And so a lot of needs that people have are surface needs. And man's greatest needs are spiritual. Man's greatest needs are not money, not clothing, not food, not education, not housing. All of those things are important and they have their place. But they are not man's greatest needs. And this is critical to understand when ministering to people, because a lot of times we can get caught up in ministering to the external needs, which sometimes need to be addressed. But I think with the heart of Christ, we would go deeper. We would seek to meet the internal needs, the spiritual needs of the people. And a lot of times people are just ignorant. They focus so much on where the money's going to come from, all of these things. And a lot of people, you know, they struggle with addictions. And a lot of those are surface issues that are a reflection that are tied deeply to root issues. And it's sin, really, that is the problem in a lot of people that have a lot of external needs. And obviously this man had a lot of external needs, but I think his greatest need was the need that Jesus addressed right away. And that was the fact that he was demon-possessed. He was being controlled by the devil. And all of those things that he was doing, cutting himself with stones, running around naked, living in the tombs, all of those things normal people wouldn't do. But a man controlled by the devil, Jesus realized this man's need is the fact that he has the wrong master. His greatest need, this man was, his greatest need was the fact that he was demon-possessed, and it was an internal thing. And everybody knew it. It was pretty obvious to everybody. And by the way that this passage reads, it seems like people tried. They tried helping this man. They tried binding him with chains. That would stop most people, but not somebody controlled by the devil. They tried, but they just simply couldn't do it. That shows the incredible power that Satan has in a lot of people's lives. He's controlling them. So people have needs. The second reason that every Christian should be motivated to show compassion is that Jesus showed compassion to you. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 1 through 5 is a pretty accurate description of all of us, especially those who have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy. And that word mercy is really the same word as compassion in Mark chapter 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Turn a few pages over to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Verses 3 and 4, kind of a similar passage that gives us a description of the condition we were in when Jesus saved us. And if he had any reason not to love us, it was because of the condition of our heart. But what these passages tell us is that the condition of our heart does not keep Jesus from showing compassion. In fact, that's what draws his love towards us. Titus chapter 3, verse 3 says, For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after that, that whole description that we just read, after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Isn't that incredible to think that Jesus Christ had compassion on you when in the condition that you were in, like the maniac of Gadara, the condition that he was in, most people would deem him hopeless. They wouldn't waste their time trying to minister to that man. But Jesus, reading the description of our heart, he showed his love to each one of us. And that ought to motivate us to have compassion to other people, because think of the condition that you are in that Jesus saved you out of. And if you're a Christian here tonight, if you're a Christian, you have something to share with people. Remember what Jesus told that man. He said, go home to thy friends and tell them what great things God hath done for you. And sometimes people think, well, I need an education. I need to go to Bible college to know how to witness. No, if you're a Christian here tonight, whether you're 5 years old, whether you're 80 years old, you have a story to tell.
Amen.
You have something to tell the people. You have a message to share. This man was newly saved, and it wasn't like he was saved out of a Christian home. He had no Bible background. All he knew was what Jesus had done for him. He wasn't ignorant, but he knew exactly what Jesus had done for him, and the people around him could see this man was different. So if you're a 5-year-old here today, if you're a senior citizen, you have no excuse. If you have been shown and received of the love and compassion of Jesus Christ, you have the message that you need to share with people. So it's a reality for all Christians. The message of Christ's compassion is a reality for all Christians, and also it's a message for all people. Aren't you glad that Jesus extended his compassion to you? In Mark 5, Jesus didn't turn up his nose to this crazy man. He didn't think, well, people have tried before. No, he knew. He knew that God could save this man. God could deliver him from the power of Satan and change his heart from the inside out. Jesus had full confidence that the power of God could do that. And a lot of times I think we look at situations forgetting that we serve the all-powerful God. Because certainly it would take God's power to rescue a man like that. Because people had tried in their own strength with chains and fetters to bind this man, but none of it worked. And it shows that when we do things in our own strength a lot of times, when we're going up against the forces of evil, what we do in our own strength, it's no match, even to Satan's power. But when we go in the name of Jesus Christ and trust in his power, then we know that things will happen. Instead, Jesus showed him love. He didn't turn up his nose. Instead, he showed him love by taking the time to meet his needs and set him free. Immediately, this man addressed the needs. And turn back to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, and look at verse 6. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Jesus right away commanded that unclean spirit to come out of him. And even when this man saw Jesus, the unclean spirit within him knew this is the Son of God. This is the Son of God. And immediately I think that unclean spirit realized his powerlessness against the power of God. And remember, when we are sharing the gospel with others, when we are showing compassion, we are not just by ourselves. We have Christ in us. We have Jesus Christ and his power that is able to use us as weak vessels. I mean, what do we have to offer to people? We are saved just like everybody else is saved. We are saved from that description that we read in Ephesians and in Titus. We don't have something to offer to people other than the gospel of Jesus Christ and His power. So that's a message for all people, even this man who is demon-possessed. There's nobody in Jesus' perspective that is not worthy of the gospel message. Even though sometimes we categorize people, sometimes we think the choice is up to us to decide whether or not this person needs the gospel. When God impresses it on our heart, we need to be willing to give out the gospel. And I'm sure we could all say that there's been those times where we felt impressed to give somebody a tract or to tell them, open our mouth about Jesus Christ, and we didn't. We thought it would be more convenient to keep our mouth shut. But that was not the example that Jesus set. It's a message for all people. John 3:16. We could probably all quote it, but God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It was the world that He loved. It wasn't just a select group of people. It wasn't just the people that grow up in church. It was the people. It was every person in the world that Jesus loved. And Matthew 28:19-20 tells us that that message of Jesus Christ is to be preached throughout the whole world. And that's the message that we are to give to all people. So first of all, the first reason that we ought to be motivated to show compassion to people is because people have needs. Secondly, we ought to be motivated because of the compassion that Christ has shown to each one of us as Christians. And the third reason for Christians to show compassion is that Christ is the answer. In other words, each of us have the answer. Not in ourselves, but what did Jesus tell that man? Look at verse 19 of Mark chapter 5. Jesus told him, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." It wasn't that this man all of a sudden, you know, something magical happened to him. It was something supernatural for sure. Because people had already tried, humanly, to rescue this man from his demon possession, from his craziness, his madness. But until Jesus came and met this man's needs through the power of God, nothing really changed in his life. But Jesus knew that the change in this man would be the most powerful testimony for the gospel going forward, because people knew what this man was like before he got saved. And Jesus said simply, "Go home and tell them what great things the Lord hath done for you and hath had compassion on thee." And when we lose that as Christians, when we lose the fact that Jesus Christ has loved us, has showed us compassion, and has done great things for us, our message stops. Because when we lose the reality of the fact that we were saved from this kind of life, then all of a sudden we don't have a message to share. And I'm sure we could all attest to the times in our life where we get busy doing other things and we realize, you know what, I really haven't been opening my mouth to declare the gospel. I've been so consumed with the cares of this world that the message of the gospel has just been kind of suppressed by everything. And I think a lot of times it is because we forget how great things the Lord hath done for us. Now this man, he had just witnessed what God could do for him. He had just been freed from the bondage of sin. So the gospel message was fresh in his mind. But maybe some of you here today have been saved for many years, have grown up in church, and it just kind of becomes routine for you to go out sowing, to come to church, and you've forgotten what great things the Lord has done for you. And remember, this was the message that Jesus told this man to go tell to the people that had seen him. He didn't go tell them, okay, now you need to go to Bible college. I'm not undermining Bible college, but this man, that wasn't required for what Jesus wanted him to do. He was fully equipped with the story that he had. And maybe you think, well, I don't really have a dynamic personality. In fact, I don't really have that great of a story to tell. Nothing really exciting like this man has to tell. There's not a huge drastic change that took place in my life. I don't really have much to say. Well, who did the saving? It was God that has done great things for you. And it doesn't matter how old you were when you got saved. It doesn't matter what your background was or how long you've been saved. The fact is, anybody who gets saved is a testimony of what great things God can do. And that's the message that Jesus wanted this man to tell. Go home, go to thy friends. They all know what you were like. And tell them what great things God has done for you. And I think if we got a hold of the fact that God has done great things for us, regardless of who you are, regardless of how old you are, the fact that Jesus saved you, the fact that he loved you in the first place, is beyond human comprehension. And so for people to see somebody who's grown up in a church that preaches the gospel get excited about what God has done for them, maybe that might cause them to think, you know what? What am I missing out on? But I think a lot of times our Christianity, we're so glum and discouraged and caught up with ourselves that we forget that God has done great things for us. We all sing the song, "To God be the glory, great things he has done." But what are some of those great things that he has done for you? Things that you can get excited about that are worth sharing with other people. If there's nothing that you can share with anybody else, then that's probably a reflection of your condition and your heart for God. And we're all guilty of getting caught up with our own things and not having compassion. Imagine if Jesus was so consumed with his schedule and his obligations that when he got off the ship and saw this man who was possessed by the devil, if he would have just kind of overlooked that, went on his way and said, "I got other plans, I got other things to do," and wasn't willing to change his schedule. To him, the schedule was the needs of the people. That was what he was most concerned about. And he there, right getting off the ship, saw, here's an opportunity for me to meet somebody's needs. And imagine if we approached life with that mindset. When we go to the store, when we go to work, when we come to church. You know, showing compassion is not just something that is done to lost people. We can show compassion to save people. In fact, a lot of times we're probably more guilty of being less compassionate to people who are saved than to people who are lost. And so that's just something to think about. So no matter where you are in this world, when you wake up and go to work tomorrow, whatever your obligations are tomorrow, people need to hear that message of what Jesus Christ can do for them. So are you doing your part? That's the real question. Christ is the answer. You know, this man had other people try to bind him and do other things for him, but until Jesus Christ came, he really didn't have the answer. And thinking about Christ as the answer, there's really two different approaches that we can have. First of all, as Christians, we can be Christ-centered. We can be Christ-centered. That means we're like Christ. We have the compassion like this. Jesus, when he stepped off the ship, immediately he saw this man with needs. We can be Christ-centered. And a Christ-centered approach to ministry and meeting the needs of people means that you direct them to Christ. Because if you're convinced that Christ is the answer, then you'll direct them to Jesus Christ, realizing that you are insufficient to meet their needs in and of yourselves. And there may be times when you can meet a physical need, giving them money, giving somebody a ride, or giving them food. But sometimes those are just avenues. God is opening up doors of opportunity for us to meet their spiritual needs. So it's more than just meeting somebody's physical needs. Maybe look at it as an opportunity to dig a little deeper and show them that Christ is the answer to their spiritual needs. And a lot of you are involved in different ministries, the UW ministry. I was at the debate on Tuesday night, and you see, there's people with needs. There's people that need the gospel. There's people that need to realize that Christ is the answer. And if our ministry and our mindset is not Christ-centered, then we're too consumed with ourselves to tell people the answers to their deepest needs. And that is that they need Jesus Christ. This comes from a young lady who was training for a nursing degree. She writes, "During my second month of nursing school, our professor gave us a pop quiz. I was a conscientious student and had breezed through the questions until I read the last one. What is the first name of the woman who cleans the school? Surely this was some kind of joke. I had seen the cleaning woman several times. She was tall, dark-haired, and in her 50s. But how would I know her name? I handed in my paper, leaving the last question blank. Just before class ended, one student asked if the last question would count toward our quiz grade. Absolutely, said the professor. In your careers, you will meet many people. All are significant. They deserve your attention and care, even if all you do is smile and say hello. Now, that's a secular example, but the point is well taken. We as Christians come across hundreds of people probably in a day, for a lot of people. And so many times we're consumed with our own selves, we're consumed with our own things that we think those are more important, and there are things that need to get done in a day, but when was the last time you really sought a person and prayed about a person that you could witness to even in your day-to-day life? Going to the grocery store, filling up for gas. And I speak to myself because I know how easy it is to get caught up with your own obligations, your own schedule, and forget that compassion is really what changes people's lives. The compassion that you show for them is what makes the difference a lot of times. If people get the impression that you don't really care about them, how likely are they to listen to you when you tell them about Jesus Christ? Not really at all. And sometimes those physical divine appointments, you might call them, something unforeseen comes up, and take advantage of those opportunities to tell that person about Jesus Christ. So there's the Christ-centered approach, and then there's the self-centered approach. And Christians who are self-centered care little about the needs and souls of others because they are consumed with themselves. They're too busy to take the time to go soul winning or to minister to somebody because their time is more important. And they are always too busy to offer their time and resources to minister at church or to another person. And a self-centered Christian is often too discouraged and too defeated to demonstrate to others the love and the joy that Jesus Christ brings. Remember, Jesus said, go tell them how great things the Lord hath done for you. But if the lost people and other Christians were to read your actions and your demeanor when they're around you, would they get the impression that Jesus Christ has done great things for you? Or would they think, what's different about this person than anybody else I've ever met? You know, when Jesus stepped off that ship, immediately that unclean spirit saw him and said, I know thee who thou art. It didn't take long for the unclean spirit to recognize this is Jesus. And some great miraculous things happened when Jesus stepped onto the scene. And think of how our church would be different if we were more focused on others than ourselves. And for people involved in the bus ministry, in the kids club ministry, in the daycare, and going out soul winning, whatever your ministry is, just think of how different it would be if we had the compassion that Jesus Christ had. Not to overlook certain people, not to think that our plans and our obligations are more important, but to think everybody has needs. To think, what has Christ done for me? To think that I have the answer. And should I be the one that withholds the answer from people who need it? And remember that the greatest needs of people are not the external needs. The greatest needs of man are spiritual. And a lot that this world has to offer not only doesn't tell people that their greatest needs are spiritual, but it detracts them from that message. All the materialism, the education that a lot of people get is completely godless. And so not only people are not only empty and they don't know where to turn, but they're actually diverted the wrong direction, which magnifies our role as Christians to show them compassion because so many people are neglecting that. And it's not just an emotional compassion. It's not just a physical compassion and donating to charity and all of that stuff. That's not what compassion really is. What we looked at in Ephesians chapter 2 God who is rich in mercy. That's really the root of compassion is you're merciful. You're being merciful. And especially in a spiritual sense, there's people with spiritual needs that are not being met. There's people that have deep hurt and bitterness against God, and they need to be shown compassion and love. And on the outside, they might appear mean and disinterested in your message, but we can't let that discourage us, because there were people that rejected Jesus' message. In fact, they were so vehement against him that they crucified him. That was the message that he preached until the point of death. And just remember that you, as a Christian, have the answer that billions in this world need, but they don't know where to find it. And just imagine, if you're a young person and you're convinced that Jesus Christ is the answer, maybe God would have you to surrender your life to tell those billions of people about Jesus Christ, about the answer that you have been blessed and privileged not only to know, but if he's your Savior, you've experienced his compassion. You have the answer, and maybe God is calling you to go tell other people that don't know that, that haven't had the privilege of hearing about how Jesus Christ can set them free from sin. So is there a reason why you have not been showing compassion? Is it that you are not convinced that Christ is the answer? Have you forgotten what God has done for you? Have you not realized that people all around you have needs? I mean, we're well aware of our own needs, right? We know that we have plenty of needs, and we're always thankful and grateful when people take the time to help us in our needs, right? We're glad to be recipients of people who show compassion, but what about turning that around and showing compassion to other people, even people that you don't think deserve it? Even people that think you might think, well, I don't know this person, I'm not good with strangers. Well, take for example Jesus. This man was not only a stranger, but it was pretty obvious that this man had a lot of needs. And Jesus was willing to show compassion to him. Far too many Christians just simply don't have the compassion that led Christ to shed his blood on the cross for sin, and also that same compassion that led him to have tears over lost souls. And this is because compassion is really a heart issue. Compassion, like I said, is not an emotional outworking. Compassion, really, the true biblical compassion, the kind of compassion that we're talking about here, being moved with compassion, it's not talking about working up some emotional experience. It's talking about the condition of your heart with God. And I think if we were really convinced of the things that we've looked at in this passage, we would be moved with compassion, because that was the very heart of Jesus Christ. When he looked on the multitudes and saw these are people with needs. They're like sheep having no shepherd. They have a lot of needs. And Christ is the answer. And that's why he told them, believe in me. I'm the Savior of the world. Compassion is really a heart issue. It's not an emotional show, but rather it's a natural outworking of a life that has been transformed by Jesus Christ. So I wonder, as a church here, where would we fit on our level of compassion? I know it might be something that's kind of hard to tag a degree to it. It might be kind of hard to put it on a chart, but I think we have a pretty good idea in ourselves of whether or not we have really been showing compassion as we ought. And it's kind of like prayer. I mean, you could hear a message on prayer 7 days a week and still realize you have a long ways to go. And compassion is kind of one of those same topics where, as humans, we know that we're always going to fall short of the passion that Christ had. But I think we have a pretty good idea of what our level of compassion is for the lost. We can look at certain benchmarks. When was the last time I went out sowing? When was the last time in my day-to-day life that I actually thought about talking to somebody about Jesus Christ? When was the last time I asked God to open up a door of opportunity for me to speak the gospel? And things like that actually show us, give us a good gauge about where we are in our compassion for lost souls and our compassion for believers as well. And remember those things that we looked at. Remember, this man's life was changed by Jesus showing him compassion. And you might think that the ministry you're involved in is going nowhere. You might think, you know, why does God have me here? You might think, man, these people I'm working with have so many needs. Well, that's the point. Jesus has put you in that opportunity to point them to the one who can give them the hope that they need, who can set them free from their needs. That's exactly the purpose that Jesus has for you. So don't give up. Don't get discouraged, because remember what Christ has done for you. He didn't give up on you, and he's not going to give up on you. He's going to keep trying to grow your faith. He's going to keep giving you opportunities to realize that there's so many more opportunities for us to show compassion than we would naturally think ourselves. If we would ask God to open our eyes to the souls of people, to the needs that people have, and be willing, having that heart of, not only do I want you to show me the needs, but Lord, equip me to help meet those needs. Realizing that Jesus Christ is the answer. How our lives would be ministry, how our lives would be impacted, and how Pack the Pew Sunday would be impacted if we all prayed, Lord, give me your compassion. Do you think if somebody really prayed, knowing that if God would give them that compassion, if God would open up a door of opportunity, do you think God would answer that prayer? I think he would. If each one of us would ask God, Lord, help me to have compassion on a soul. Lead me to a soul that has needs that I can help point them to Jesus Christ through. I don't think God would turn a deaf ear to that, because he says, every prayer according to my will, I will answer it. And he wants to meet people's needs. He wants to use us to help meet the physical needs so that he can meet their spiritual needs. And I think, just, you know, something for Pack the Pew Sunday, if we as a church all recognized our part. Remember, this is something for every Christian, not just those who are of a certain age or have been a Christian for a certain amount of time. This is for every Christian to see their need, their part in the plan that God has for them. And that plan revolves around showing people compassion. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for this story. And it's more than a story, Lord. It's really an example to each of us as Christians to show compassion. And Lord, we see what great things can happen when we take the time to show compassion to somebody, how this man's life was transformed and everybody knew it. And Lord, I pray that you would give us the compassion, that same compassion that you had, that was willing to lay down your life for us. And Lord, we fall short so many times. But Lord, as a church, I'm just praying that we would have that compassion that changes people's lives. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.